Welcome to The Green Room, a podcast from Furnitudes that explores the outdoor spaces where we gather, connect, and breathe. In each episode, we'll delve into the stories behind remarkable public spaces, speak with visionaries who are reshaping our urban landscape, and uncover how sustainable design can transform the places we share. I'm your host, Catherine Barrett. Today, we're joined by Sophie Trotman, who will share insights on art in public spaces.
Hi.
Hello.
Nice to see you, Sophie. So I've got Sophie Trotman here with me today, Head of Place Branding, Marketing and Communications at the Housing Association Notting Hill Genesis within the Places Directorate. So thank you so much for joining us today to talk about art and the role of art in public spaces, something you've got a lot of experience in. So thank you.
No worries.
So to start off with, can you give me a bit of background to you, an overview of what you're doing and your role within Notting Hill Genesis Places?
Yeah, of course. So I started off when I first left university, I started off in a PR agency. So I always knew that I wanted to go into like marketing, branding. I was always very creative, but I wasn't sure like what sort of avenue I wanted to go in. And it just happened to be that I fell into PR within property. I had lots of different clients whilst I was working in PR. And one of my clients was Folio London, which is the market rent arm, so the build to rent arm of Notting Hill Genesis.
Right.
And without being biased, that was my favourite account. And I'm not just saying that because they poached me. but it was my favourite account because it was really creative. It was a really like young, vibrant brand, or it had the potential to be that. But long story short, they employed me directly. So I went to work for Folio London and started there in a really, really small team. So when I started there, it was about 10 of us on a bank of desks. It was, yeah, now there's about 60 people within that
wow.
team. Yeah, so the growth is absolutely massive. And I was really lucky, really. I was really fortunate. So when I came into that team, one of the things I said in my interview was I had this vision, and it was at a time when build to rent was growing, of what I wanted the Folio London brand to be, and the like how the brand becomes the architecture for everything. And I had these big ideas, and I was very vocal about branding being at the center of business plans. And at the time, people thought that was the most bizarre thing in the world. They couldn't really understand it. Like, I think especially in property, branding hadn't, when you look at other industries and you look at like, you know, huge brands like Coca-Cola, for example, you see how that shapes their whole business model.
Yeah.
And within the property space, the branding just really wasn't looked at all like that for places, for developments, but also for companies. And so I developed this whole branding piece of work to kind of put that at the forefront of what we were doing and all our efforts. And, you know, I started talking about the team being brand champions, and everyone honestly thought I was crazy. But it was really, really successful. So that whole model of creating a marketing, a branding, communications team that not only did the designing of our places, but also then, because build to rent and renting, there's one difference between that and most traditional private sectors, is you keep people. So once people have moved in and, you know, you've got the let, you don't walk away. You then have a long-term commitment to service those residents.
Yeah.
And the role of marketing, branding and communications in that is that constant feedback loop of what are we doing? Are we doing it right? You know, renting is so transient, and so you want to keep people within your buildings. And so there was this two-tone sort of like marketing model that I was building that was not only doing the nice shiny piece of creating the brands and the identities and getting people in,
the customer acquisition piece
exactly which is the like traditional piece, but it was okay once they've brought the, you know, they've let the product, it was then this whole new world of making sure that they were staying with us or moving even within different developments that we had, and making sure that we were still serving them marketing, branding and communication strategies within some capacity. Yeah, that was a completely new model, really. and one that was very successful.
And is that, so to me, that's almost, that's the customer experience, it's the experience they have living in a place. And so it's almost like, so there's the external brand and acquisition part, but actually the part that keeps people and keeps the community is that feeling of when you live somewhere, that experience that you have.
Yeah. And also one of the things as well with renting is, you know, people will change, they will grow, their lifestyles will change. But what you want them to be able to do is to be able to do that within where you're staying. So, you know, if that's going from a studio to then going up to a two-bed or a family home or whatever it is, like, you need to adapt to the constant lifestyle changes of people and make sure you're servicing people as they change, because it won't just be the data that you get in of people that are living there from the moment they walk through the door. It's that life cycle and it's that change of just adapting to people's needs. And I think it's quite fast paced. It's quite fast paced for sure. And I think it was, and now like the build to rent model, and like when you look at some of the big players that are doing it, like Elephant Park, for example. Lendlease have done an amazing job down there. People are now seeing the value in it. They're seeing why lifestyle people, like, it's almost like behaviors, right? Like the behaviors of trying to adapt and change your activities to the people in the place. And there's quite a lot of like science behind it. And yeah, I think it's a model that's quite now looked after, like sought after. But at the time, especially doing that within a small sort of company within a housing association, it was, everyone thought it was a bit nuts.
Yeah. Does that mean that, so that means then that you're, so rather than saying this is the experience you will get with us, is it more what is the experience this community that we're looking to serve needs? Yeah. Or is it a bit of both?
It's a bit of both, really. I mean, it's so different now. So obviously my role now has been coming from that build to rent background and building what I did in Folio. I've then been given the opportunity to do that for Notting Hill Genesis on a much bigger scale. So I have 21 sites that my team looks after, which, as you can imagine, is a lot. It's quite busy.
Yes.
But the biggest thing I would say is every single one of those sites is different and requires different things. So I don't have a one-size-fits-all model. I think if you have a one-size-fits-all model, you're putting yourself in a box and you're not going to really allow yourself to be able to suit the changes and the different demographics of all these different places. Like, every single place should have a tailored strategy based on that area, that like not just the place you're building as well, but the local area. So trying to knit the local area back in. Like, there's a big piece of work on you can have standardized models and you can have standardized ways of doing things to keep a consistent approach, but it should always be applied slightly differently based on location, because that's the beauty of London, right? Everywhere in London is so...
has its feel.
Yeah, it has its feel. It's got, you know, you've got like your Shoreditch all the way to like your Kensington and Chelsea. Like, it's completely different. If I did the same thing there, it just wouldn't fit. Yeah. And it has to fit to work. So, yeah, there's something in like having your standardized models, which I have for marketing, brand and digital. I have a standardized module and communications for all of them, but I apply them slightly differently depending on the research piece that we do at the beginning on the place, basically, to suit the needs of the residents and the local communities around.
And then that then drives what you're going to do. So how
exactly,
how does art contribute to, so how is art part of that? You know, we're interested in art and public spaces. So how, and I know it's something that you're really passionate about.
I love it.
How does art contribute to identity in a space and brand, and how does it reflect the place and the people?
So I think for me, art is subjective, right? And that's the best thing about art. You can look at something and be like, that's crazy, but I love it. Or you might hate it. Like, it can be Marmite, but art is subjective. And usually how art is created is done very similarly to how I create brands. When you look at a piece of art, you want to feel something. Mm-hmm. You want to know the story behind it. And you want it to be reflective of what you're trying to tell. And when you look at that process and how art's created, that's exactly what I do when I look at a brand for an area or for a place, is I look at those two things. What do I want people to feel? Who am I trying to look at? And like, what will they experience living in that area? What I want them to feel is really important. So when they look at a brand, how how are they supposed to feel? Are they supposed to feel happy? Are they supposed to feel excited? Do the colours reflect the area that we're in? And I think having artists come and do interpretations that can feed into your branding, and likewise for your branding to feed off art,
yeah,
I think is key. It brings that connection, right, of people yeah. and place. Why not? You know, like, I don't want to just create a logo and a colour palette and say that should be your identity for Stratford. Like, who am I?
Yeah.
It needs to be reflective of the people there, like the stories that people want to tell. And art should actually be the catalyst
the story.
To all of that.
Yeah,
it's the
yeah,
story
yeah.
that comes into the branding. And actually, I think in the past, branding was done very differently. It was done in this like traditional model of, I want a logo, a colour palette, a typeface, a this, a that. And there was no flexibility in brands. Now I'm just like, brands can be whatever they want. They really can, and they should be. We should be having art feed into them at the very beginning and make sure that, you know, if there's a local artist in the area or someone that people connect with, we're tying that into everything we're doing. And we're really putting that into the, you know, down to the architecture of the buildings, to the landscaping and the shape of furniture that we put it, like everything should
tie together.
It comes
in really early.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes,
it's not
absolutely.
At the end. We want a bit of art over there because we're
no.
finished now.
No, exactly. No. And I think that's what you've just said there is really, really key, actually. In the past, a brand and like a marketing strategy was created to sell a product. Now we're no longer trying to sell products. We're trying to sell places, and we're trying to yeah. create places. And so my like place team, like my place, like brand marketing comms team has to come in so early so that we can set that vision for that place. We can connect all the dots. We can make sure that the branding, the marketing, the comms is weaved through everything. The strategies are secure. So then by the time the products teams come in, they've essentially got like a Bible of what this place is.
The best brief ever.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Bit of a dream, really. It makes yeah. life a lot easier. But the products then can, you know, they sell themselves. Like, and obviously there's the things where you've got to see the specification of the actual units and stuff. But the real placemaking element, that is what
it's
people
done.
Want now.
Yeah, you've
yeah.
got that. And that's what
exactly.
people, and again, that's you're getting that input from people before you even start. So you know
yeah.
you're creating something that people will want.
Exactly. And some of our places are, so I work across different types of as well. So some of the biggest projects I have are regen projects. And that's even more important.
Ooh,
that
yeah.
we have the local people that are living there, that have lived there for years and years and years.
Yeah.
That, you know, even down to naming, if they want to retain the name of the estate that they've always lived on, they should be able to have the freedom of that choice to keep that name, to keep that community alive. I think in the past, people have been worried, like where some of these estates have had negative connotations attached to them, that we would just forget that story. We just park
right.
that. We create something new, brand new, that doesn't have any, you know, Google SEO attached to it of what's happened in that area.
Yeah.
And we just pretend that something new has been created. And all you
yeah.
do in doing that is alienate a community that have lived and breathed there for years and years and years. And they deserve to have their voices heard, and they deserve
yeah.
to have, they deserve to be part of the story. We shouldn't be alienating them. And so I think that naming, branding, that's a good way to connect the two. Like, you can still have new people move in, but the people that have lived there for so long should also form part of that, and you can hold.
They shouldn't feel like they've been kind of put to one side
no,
for the new.
Absolutely
yeah.
not.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. And art is the connection to all of that, because you can have all those people in a room and you can do like a artist interpretation, which, so we do this quite a lot, where when we're creating a brand, we'll get everyone in a room. Some people from, you know, the local bakery down the road, some people from the existing community, new prospective people. And we'll say, like, what does this mean to you? Like, how would you draw this? How would you, like, and because people are very visual, and like, they'll start saying words that's feelings, right? So I feel that I feel connected here. I feel at home when I'm in the local park, or when I'm seeing my neighbor that I've known for however long, like, you get these little snippets of feeling, and you get the artist interpretation of they really connect to, yeah, I don't know. We've had one where they connected to birds in the area, and everyone said the same, like, oh yeah. And then that becomes the art that then feeds into the brand and the story, and
yeah.
that becomes the visual identity of the place, because it's genuine, it's authentic, and it's been created through art.
Can you give me some examples of places where you just mentioned there about birds for one area or one community, but are there any other examples where art has been used to shape a place and on the impact that it's had? And you've talked a little bit about that kind of process at the very beginning, mm-hmm. but kind of maybe from beginning to end, or what that art felt like or looks like.
I think a really good example, and it was a bit of a controversial one, but I love saying the controversial ones, right? So Kidbrook Square, so that's next to Kidbrook Village in Kidbrook itself. So we knew that with that community, that we wanted to be different to Kidbrook Village. Kidbrook Village has been established for a long time, and we wanted to be sort of bringing the arts and the culture to our development, make it a bit quirky, a bit different, you know, celebrate, because Kidbrook as an area has a history of a lot of art, a lot of graffiti in like in the area where artists have always come together and had like graffiti jams, right? So we had so many meters of blank cording, and we worked with Global Street Art. We gave a brief to local graffiti artists and we said, we do want to stay within the parameters of our Kidbrook colours to some, you know, just note to them a little bit, because that's important to the marketing and the place. We gave them our brand guidelines. We gave them everything. And we said, now we want you to just go do whatever feels right to you, to the area, to what you think people will want to see. And it, you know, again, art's subjective. Can I say that everyone's loved it? No, but it's worked. And the reason it's worked is because it's different. You know, graffiti has in the past has had this real nod to being vandalism, but it's like, well, who are we to judge that art is vandalism? Yeah. Like, we really have no say on that. And there was all sorts of like different artists came down, and we've used the right colours that link to it, and it looks great. It looks fantastic. And we've had loads of resident events since then. We've got loads of home views data. And the thing that comes up time and time again is this sense of community. Mm. Like, oh, there's a real sense of community. There's a sense of something different. There's a sense of like, you know, art and culture within that area. And you look at places like Hackney Wick, and art's everywhere, right? You literally can't not see it. And that's one of our other sites. And there's no reason that you can't bring that into other areas just because no one else is. It doesn't really matter. Like, we should still be allowed to just do the interpretations of what people want.
Well, I feel like it's a real celebration of the community, mm-hmm. right? So if you're being heard and listened to and then interpreted by artists, you as a community, you as individuals are being celebrated.
Exactly.
You know, not documented, but kind of almost like put on a, you know, you're
on a map,
you're on a map, you're on a wall, you're in a frame. And there's a sense of pride, I would imagine. So it's not only embodying the feeling of the place, but it's also allowing you to put that pride in your sense of place front and center.
Exactly. And it drew new people to the area as well, because obviously it appeared as part of the festival. So people started coming to Kidbrook as a destination where they hadn't maybe necessarily thought of Kidbrook. They probably either go to London Bridge or straight through to Greenwich because it's on that mm-hmm. line. But actually it made people get off at Kidbrook and come and see something different. And that's what you want from not just a place perspective, but from a product perspective as well, right? If you're letting flats, or you're selling flats, or you're trying to get people interested, you want people to stop, to stare, to, yes. you know, so what? Bit
to
of controversy.
You know,
not everyone will love it, but not everyone has to. Like, the whole point of it is it tells a story, it's an interpretation. And what it's actually been is the catalyst now to, we've got multiple art projects now happening. So we've got a women's safety project happening where we're going to do a piece of art from local women in the area to basically celebrate how women should feel safe within the area. One of my team's working on that project at the moment. I've got my other team working on a really cool community piece with a local artist that's going to do like advertise how easy Kidbrook is to get to loads of other destinations and do like really cool artist interpretations of, you know, it's 10 minutes from Sofa to Soho and all of this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And so like now that hoarding has become a space for artists to just,
yeah,
you know, us to, and it can, we can just keep changing it, right? We can keep
and
doing things.
It's almost like
things.
A conversation as well, isn't yeah. it? It's like, you yeah. got, if it's changing and evolving, you've almost got this sort of conversation between yeah. the art and the community.
Exactly. And we, you know, we're open to, we've got the space. I'd rather it be full of loads of different projects that mean something to the local people than just be blank or full of like, welcome to Kidbrook, you know, like no one, that doesn't mean anything to anyone. So we want to be different and have it as like a giant, like portrait gallery, essentially along the hoarding, just different like projects. So if anyone is listening and interested, please do reach out to me.
What could be there next year?
Yeah, exactly. What could be there next year? What if they're local and they're interested in just, yeah, working with some of the community that we've got there, like we've got the space. We need the artists to come to us, and yeah, we're really keen to just get it as bright and colourful and creative as possible all along the train front. So that's an exciting thing.
And how do you measure the success of art in a space, whether it's through anecdote, you know, resident feedback, mm-hmm. or is there data, like, you know, length of, you know, how at home people feel, or rent, yeah. you know, how long someone will stay somewhere. How do you know, oh, Kidbrook, you know, Square, that's really good, because yeah. and I guess it helps you learn what to do next in other places mm-hmm. as well.
I think, so there's two things. So there's different ways to measure, right? We're looking at measuring the place and the effect of the place, and then the products. Yep. Products, yep. easy. Oh, it's yep. so easy. For Folio London, for example, it was the quickest let scheme in Folio London history. So
right.
the rates of the lettings, the rates of the yep. sales periods, I've got all that data. That's nice and easy. So products is done by that, really. It's done by yep. like the cost to let and how quickly you can let it. So all of that data is there and it speaks for itself, which is great for the product. Now for the place, it is a bit harder, because I say this all the time, how do you measure that someone feels happy? You know, there's loads there's loads of different things. I know there was talk about this flourishing index and measuring people on their well-being and their happiness. Is like, that's it's a big conversation. I know as an industry, like property are trying to figure out ways to measure happiness,
right? How happy is the community?
Because that's not a value, that's not a monetary value, that's not something, you know. Yes, I can host surveys, which I've got loads of information on Home Views, which is part of Rightmove, and they send out surveys to our residents and we ask them questions about how they feel about the area, what events they want to see, how they feel about their communities. And we've got all that, like, we call it like sentiment. So we've got how they feel about the place, and it's always very positive, and it's always very like, I feel proud of my community, I feel happy here, I feel yeah, like it's my home, like that is great. It's just trying to, I guess there's different things. You can track sentiment if it was bad, you can track the change over time.
Yeah.
And that's some of the things I'm doing in the project, where we're retrofitting brand marketing comms into a place, is we are taking a score and knowing that it's going to be low because people are yeah. unhappy because it wasn't done right in the first place. And then we are now in a year's time or 2 years' time, we're sending out those surveys and we're tracking those changes to show how sentiment can change over time, because yeah. it's not a quick fix. Where it's done at Kidbrook, where it was done right in the first place and it was a success, I guess it's just maintaining that sentiment and making sure that the strategies we're putting in and how we're servicing that community is held to that standard, not just now, but yeah. 2, 3, 4, 5, 10 years plus in the future. Like, that sentiment should still remain the same and people should still be feeling the same.
And I wonder if there's, I don't know the answer to this, but, you know, there's a lot about if people feel, I'm going to forget the name of the author, but we'll pop it in the notes. But Places for People, about, you have two similar places.
Yeah.
One's really well looked after and has a real sense of community, and one isn't. So people are less likely to be out in the streets in the mm-hmm. one where you know isn't looked after, versus kind of eyes on the streets, everyone looks after each other, in the ones with a strong mm-hmm. sense of community. The incidents that happen in between those two similar places are dramatic. So whether it's antisocial behaviour or crime, or even just, you know, deaths from people not looking out for each other.
Yes.
I don't know if that's a measure, but there's something really interesting
it's like
about
social value, right?
Social value, yeah. Mm. And whether that can be part of, you know, you're measuring a community on those kind of incidents, basically.
Yeah.
And there's a lot about if you invest in an area or a community that actually then looks after itself much more. It has its own sort of community ecosystem.
Yeah, and actually, like, there's probably some... and again, this is probably something we have to look into. We're always constantly looking at new ways to track, but there's probably some financial benefits as well, right? Like, if you look at those two differences and if people feel at home, they're more likely to, as they walk past, pick up the piece of litter and put it in the bin, right? Because they're like, I love where I live. I'm proud of where I live. I know that's not the fault of the estates team or whatever. It might have just blown from the train track. I'll just help them out.
Whereas
if there's not that community essence, they're probably just going to keep walking. And then that's going to...
Or drop
be
their
a cost.
Drop their
or drop, yeah. And then that's going to be a cost on the estate and, you know, things can happen from there. So, yeah, it is. There's definitely, I think, some kind of values that you can tap into like that. We're just... Yeah, I feel like one thing at a time. I've got all these ideas, but I'm just like, how do I do it all at once for 21?
Oh gosh, that's a lot, isn't it?
Yeah.
And also that kind of, as you say, I'm sort of talking about data and how do you measure this? How do you get the balance right between measurable returns and it being, you know, how much is it for you? Is it measurable returns versus brand value and what you're delivering to a community? And how do you get the balance right between the two? Or is there a sweet spot where both succeed really well?
I think it's really interesting, actually. It's a really interesting point. Like, I think there's two ways that you have to do it. And I think I always say this about branding, marketing, communication people. This is going to sound like I'm absolutely insane, but we're quite manipulative in our approach. And the way I mean that is we know what needs to be done to get the sign-off we need or the budget we need or our voices heard within an industry that doesn't appreciate our sector or underappreciates our sector in general. And I'm very fortunate in Notting Hill Genesis. I've been given the opportunity to really put these place strategies in specifically for branding, marketing, communications. And that's very unusual because it's usually, as you know, it's the nice to have, it's the pretty stuff. So there is a bit of manipulation in making sure that we are using the right figures and we're saying the right things to make people understand from a monetary value, financial value, from a social value, like an impact. And like, that's one of the biggest things I'm looking at doing in the next few months is me and my team are going to create an impact report that we'd like to launch. And that will just show all the work that we've been doing over the past year in, you know, pictures and videos, and because we've got it all, but it's, you know, it's not always one line on a spreadsheet that can get sent to a board report. It needs to be like a kind of a party of success in terms of come and see this, look at this, feel like, see this, speak to this person, feel how you feel when you get here. Like, and impact is quite hard to show. So I think doing a rapport that we can then have people come down to some of our locations and we can show them what we've done and we can show the value in what we're doing on the ground, I think is really important. And then for the residents and for the communities, I don't think they need much convincing that branding, marketing, I don't think they necessarily realize it consciously, but they will choose to live there. They'll love where they live. They'll feel how they feel.
They choose with their feet.
Exactly. And all of a sudden the naming, you know, you say to people, oh, it's not important. But then as soon as someone loves where they live, they're like, oh, well, I live at Kingbrook Square. Yeah.
Yes. You know, people, you're right.
Yeah. And people love, you know, areas of London, and saying that they live in certain postcodes are important, right, to certain people and things like that. So it might seem like it's really small, but it's actually a big deal. And I think there's something in which we haven't done yet as an industry, I think, in property marketing in general. We haven't found a moment yet that everyone connects with. And I think once we find our moment in property marketing and we can kind of all together like a moment that's common that everyone will
feel. What do you mean by that? Tell me more about that.
So I've got this crazy thing at the moment that I'm...
Launch it now.
I can't stop talking about it. Everything in marketing is about a moment, right?
Right.
And the moment will be what someone connects with, which is why they connect with your product or your service, or, and it needs to be something genuine. So the best example that we had recently was the Pampers Punani experience.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So like how there's this massive explosion that every adult that's had a child knows. Now, that's the moment. That's what everyone connects with, right? Like,
right.
Oh, I've got this story. Oh, once my kid did this. Or, and it doesn't even have to be a parent. It can be talking about your friend's baby. It can be talking about when your little brother or sister, or, you know, everyone should have an experience that connects to that moment. So Pampers have been very clever in using that moment to get people talking, to get the conversations going, to then create a massive amount of awareness around their product.
Yep.
I don't think as an industry, property has had that yet. Like, what is our moment? Like, in placemaking, and, you know, what's our moment at Kidbrook Square versus what's my moment at the Aylesbury Estate or within Graham Park? Like, what is the moment and what should everyone, like, that's what I'm trying to find. And then trying to create things around that, like create my strategies around that so that the moment becomes, if I can, the moment becomes what people connect with.
And is that moment, when you say, so moment, is that like an event or is it something
anything,
something that people feel that connects everyone together and that's the moment? Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, it's, the moment can be anything, but it just needs to get the conversations flowing. Like, you know, and I try to apply it to anything
as well, right?
Ask the moment. Like, when you think, oh, that giant, like mural that I've seen, like, that's what I think of when I think of that place. Like, that's my moment. That's my connection.
Yeah.
So I think, like, exactly that. Art is an incredible way to create a moment. It's an incredible way to visually connect someone to the place and create, you know, the Kidbrook hoarding. Like, that created controversy. Some people loved it. Some people hated it. Everyone had an opinion. But it created a moment. I had my moment. So I think, it's looking at that as a kind of strategy and applying that with art, with branding, with marketing, you know, something that is seen or has been seen in the past to be a nice to have and really embedding it in an authentic, genuine way.
Yeah. So it becomes part of the place.
Yeah. 100%. I think it's the most important part. Obviously I'd say that.
But I love what you're doing. And I know that we met at a Global Street Art panel, and you had two other ladies on the panel who share your passion and enthusiasm. So it's really great to hear that there are moves within property and property development or placemaking to harness art, creativity, to make fun, joyful, or just connected places. They don't all have to be fun and joyful. They have to suit the community that they're serving.
Exactly. It can be whatever they want to be.
Whatever they want to be. Well, so tell me about some, I mean, I love Kidbrook Square. Are there other places that inspire you that you think, oh gosh, that's been done so well, or I love that, whether it's yours or someone else's?
So I'm a big fan, I'm trying to think of a few examples. I love like a pop-up. I'm a big fan of a pop-up.
Yeah.
Like Pop Brixton, I think is fantastic. I'm pretty sure that's due to close down soon, which I think is very sad. So if we can find somewhere for that, somewhere else, you know, that idea of having meanwhile space and being able to bring a community together through meanwhile space, I think is really undervalued and super important.
Right.
Because quite often, and I think this is the example with Pop Brixton, you might need to fact check it, but I'm pretty sure it's true, is that that was only meant to be there for a few years, but it became such a part of the community and such a hotspot for everyone to want to go, and local businesses and food vendors then grew their businesses from this tiny crate
like an incubator.
In this area. It becomes an incubator. It becomes a talking, it becomes a moment. Like, you know, that is what people are like, oh, let's go to Brixton the weekend and go wander around. And, you know, they have pop-up like fashion spaces and all sorts. And you can host community activities in there. You can connect with local schools. Like These things don't, they need upfront investment, but the value in them for the community is so important. And I think commercial space and how we look at commercial space in the future when looking at our, and I know we spoke about this on our global street art panel, is how we're designing our commercial. Like, it needs to be flexible. It needs to have that Pop Brixton effect that people can move in and out, and like as lifestyles change and people change within the area, it needs to be that flexible kind of turnover to help create the place and create a meaningful area.
And keep it, it's kind of, as you say, keeping it growing and evolving and keep it alive. Yeah. It's like watering a plant. You don't just, you know, expect something to stay exactly the same for 20 years.
Exactly.
It needs to evolve. So with Pop Brixton, is it, so it's you know, you mentioned it's, street vendors kind of grew businesses, so it's incubating, but I guess it's also testing ideas, right? It's testing, and people like that. People quite like that. Meanwhile,
it's risky,
feeling,
right? Yeah, it's risky because it's like, we don't know what's going to work. Let's just chuck in some spaces and see who comes. Mm-hmm. Like, that's almost the mission behind it, is like, well, let's just fill some spaces that are small, really small, so that, you know, it's not a lot of business rates and all sorts for people, but that they can come in and they can try something. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But we need to be able to take more risks. And in order to take more risks, we need to be a bit more clever in the way that we look at space and we design space to allow people to take some risks and for small businesses to come in. And to, you know, we don't just want to be filling all our commercial space with our big retailers.
Big names. You've got to have the smaller ones being able to start up. And what I love is the pop-up spaces now that we've seen, where it's almost you're creating, sounds dull, but you're creating a pop-up space that suits really small outlets.
Exactly.
But you give them, you know, maybe two have a kitchen, maybe two have a shop front. So you're actually providing them with, providing the tenants with what they need to get up and going.
Exactly. Yeah. And like that contributes to people then feeling happier and feeling, you know, because they might be like, oh, that's my friend from da 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 da, or, you know, it's just more genuine. I think, especially, oh, I hate saying it, kind of gives myself the ick, but post-COVID, those classic words, people are thriving for connection. They do want to reconnect, but they don't want to be forced to reconnect. They want to do it in a way that's genuine and in spaces that feel like they're created for a set vision of, you know, a set purpose almost, not like go into this shop, shop here, go here, eat here. Like, it needs to be a bit more free flowing and a bit more like, just, I don't know how to explain
but that
it.
but you know what? That comes right back to, if you get a community's input, it's going to feel more authentic, right? Than if you just plop down whatever you think is right, or you know, the brand or the shop that's, you know, is going to pay for the huge space. Actually, if you've listened to the community and they want to try, they'd love to have a Vietnamese and a something else stall, then you can do that with smaller spaces.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's just thinking about the design element a bit differently and just, you know, doing something a bit risky, like doing something a bit different. Like, it's not always going to work, but then change it. Like, we are always so scared as an industry to make mistakes, and no one else is, you know, like when you look at the marketing and branding.
Well, it feels
like
very kind of data and finance driven sometimes, I think. Possibly.
And I get that. But I think in our field, like the things, or like my field specifically, where I can, like, I'm always going to take a risk. I'm always just going to give it a go. And 9 times out of 10, it pays off, you know, and there might be
one person.
Yeah, exactly. And the data shows, you know, like the HomeViews data of Kidbrook, it shows that putting place first was the right decision.
Yeah.
The value in, like, I can provide a link so that people can have a look at it actually on HomeViews. But what people have said is just, you know, it talks to the design, like it talks to how they feel. It talks about the commercial space, the market space that we've got going on. Like, there's so much there that people are just saying, not because I've told them to say it, but because that's how they feel.
But it's also thanks to you and people like you who are, or, you know, and the organizations you work for that are prepared to make those risks, because you're actually able to proof concepts now that I think are being adopted wider in the industry. So it is, you know, it does need, like every industry needs risk takers to, to prove, to fail a bit, but to also prove the, the concepts out.
And just to get new ideas, right, as well. Ideas come from making mistakes sometimes, because that's how an idea gets generated. You know, you're not, like, new ideas come from sometimes, not getting things right. So it shouldn't be such a fear.
So we've got, so you're working on, and I won't hold you to it, but Moments, Impact Report. What can we expect in the next 12 months? What are you most excited about in your world for the next 12 months?
I think showing the value in what I'm doing. Like, I've got such a big task with 21 sites in my remit, and every site is slightly different. But through the Impact Report and launching that, I want to show that, like, you know, it doesn't have to be for all the new schemes coming through. Some of the schemes that I'm working on are 14, 15 years old, and they just haven't ever been given the love to have the branding and the marketing and the comms thought about, or it was at sales time, and then when people moved in, it was ignored. So I'm really trying to stand by my strategies and put them into 21 sites that are completely, completely different, using the standardized model, but adapting them for the needs of the people and the place, and then proving the value in that. And, like, that's a big job, but I know I can do it. And I think it's just getting it done and then showcasing it and, you know, really, like, pushing that it works and that it's important and that it's not just a nice to have. It's actually, it's a real success, and it's proof of concept, really.
So if people want to experience your places, Sophie, can they find them all on the Notting Hill Genesis website and do a tour of London?
Absolutely. Or if they want to see some of the reviews and stuff as well, which is from the residents themselves, definitely check out Home Views. Because that's really important. And we can provide a link for that so that people can see how people feel. And if they want to just have a conversation or chat to me, run ideas, just share frustrations, whatever it is, or give me a message and we can have a chat.
Thank you so much, Sophie. I love what you're doing and I love talking to you about it, because I love that you've got, you had the vision, you've delivered on the vision, and you've got even more ideas that you just want to keep rolling out. So I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.